Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast, shucking the oyster of conversation, adding the shallot vinaigrette of friendship, and maybe a few drops of Tabasco humour.
That is Ed Gamble. My name is James Acaster. Together we own a dream restaurant, and every single week we invite in a different guest. We ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink, not in that order. And this week, our guest is... Carrie Brownstein.
Carrie Brownstein, of course, a wonderful musician, part of the band Sleater Kinney, James.
Amazing band. And also, I mean, one of the few people who has straddled both the world of music and sketch comedy.
With ease and with great success across both worlds,
yes,
James.
With Portlandia.
Not easy to straddle with success.
Well, almost impossible, I would say. I can't think of many other people who have done it, and definitely who haven't, you know, who've done both to such a high standard.
I can't think of any comedians who've started doing music and it's been good.
But Portlandia's fantastic, Sleater Kinney are fantastic, and we're very excited to have Carrie on the podcast.
We are indeed. Sleater Kinney's new album is out now. It's called Little Rope, James.
Yeah, I'm very excited to hear it. I'm a big fan of The Woods, their album The Woods, as you know. I was telling you about it the other
day. I listened to it yesterday.
Yeah?
You told me yesterday, and I walked to my gig from these very studios, and I listened to the album, and I absolutely loved it.
Yes!
Right up my street.
Love recommended Ed stuff, and he loves it.
I've got many streets, by the way, so if you've not heard them and you're thinking, oh, it's right up Ed's street, yeah, it's going to be some horrible sort of screamo metallic hardcore album. It's not like that. But there's definitely some sort of discordant sort of
noise. Just how we like it here at the Off-Menu podcast.
We love noise.
Now, even though we love Carrie Brownstein and all of her work, if she says the secret ingredient,
yes,
an ingredient which we deem to be unacceptable, just like all the other guests, we would have to kick out the podcast.
Very sadly, we would have to do that, as is our duty. And today, the secret ingredient is a thimble of Italian soda. Very specific Portlandia reference.
Yes.
The cinema concession stand sketch.
Yes. We won't spoil the sketch for you. You have to watch it yourself.
Yes. We would never spoil the sketch. But a thimble of Italian soda.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, look... In Portlandia, they're skewering some of the more hipster tendencies of people in that area. And with the food stuff, I do find myself looking at the foods that they mentioned on Portlandia as a joke and think, well, I'd order that.
Yeah, you would have those.
Probably sums up what sort of person I am.
It does. We all know Ed Gamble, but let's get to know Carrie Brownstein.
This is the off-menu menu of Carrie Brownstein. Welcome, Carrie, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Welcome, Carrie Brownstein, to the Dream Restaurant. I've been expecting you for some time. Really worried I was going to get, like, toast everywhere.
Yes. We should say for the listener, shouldn't we, that James has just had peanut butter toast.
Right. And I pointed out that that's something that I eat for breakfast often.
Yeah.
There you go.
And I never have it. And yet I just felt like there was something inside me today.
We're very psychically connected already, so we could do this show silently.
Yeah.
It would be unfair for the listeners, but we would get it.
Yeah. It would be the best episode ever.
You would have to talk. You're not connected with us.
Oh, yeah, that's true. No. I did have some toast this morning. Does that count?
It does count. What did you have on it?
I put some Marmite on it and some fried eggs.
Oh.
How do you feel about that?
That's like speaking a different language to me. Marmite, I can't. No, Marmite. But I will say I prefer it over Vegemite. Both of which I've tried.
Yeah, Vegemite I can't get on with because it's kind of close to Marmite, but it doesn't represent my childhood in any way. It's too close, but that makes it more different.
I like how you're pronouncing it Vegemite. Like Vegemite. It's just full of veg.
Yeah, you know, it's a big, big pot of veg.
Yeah, big pot of veg.
Oh, how's it meant to be pronounced? Vegemite.
I think it might be Vegemite.
Vegemite.
Yeah, I'm sure the Aussies pronounce it very specifically.
More Vegemite.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
There we go. He's good at impressions.
Yes, great. All the Australian listeners are just giving you a big thumbs up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When were you last in Australia?
It's been a second. It's been maybe since 2016. What about you?
good question.
Great May. Question.
Ed was last there.
Oh, you were really just there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
In May, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm good at the accent. Because
it's the only reason. Yeah, yeah. Just the proximity, yeah. the amount of time. So recent. Mine has faded since I've been there. Because obviously when I'm there, I try to really immerse myself.
Of course.
People appreciate that. It's like when you go to France, you speak French. When you go to Australian, Australian, you speak Australia. Yeah.
2019 for me.
Oh, okay, sorry, I didn't ask you, James.
2019.
Yeah.
Also, like, annoyingly, like, it was like maybe I went to Australia, then New Zealand, and then came back. And then when I came back here, I started playing Pokemon Go. And very annoyed that there were regional Pokemon in Australia and New Zealand that I could have caught if I'd started it just like a couple of weeks earlier.
Oh, you should go back.
And then, I have to go back.
You have to do a tour.
That quick little trip over there.
Yeah.
How far is it from here on a plane?
Takes about 24 hours, right?
Okay, yeah. It's a little shorter from the US, but not much. It's that surreal feeling where you've been in the air too long and it just starts to feel like you might never land.
I love that, though.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, I love being enclosed on a plane, watching films.
Drinking wine. He gets on the wines immediately, this guy.
I mean, they say that hydration is better, but I do understand the inclination to just start drinking pretty quickly on a flight. Yeah.
And then I had a layover in Abu Dhabi, I think it was.
Okay.
And I was in the airport having a beer, and then I looked at the local time, and it was 6 a.m. And I thought, this has got to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it stop?
No. It stopped when I got to Australia. I got back on a normal schedule then. But the 6 a.m. beer at an airport did not feel good.
I don't know. I reckon he felt pretty good. I know that he's just met you, Carrie, so he's trying to.
No, I sense a like smugness too. Good. It feels smug.
Yeah,
it feels like you're proud of yourself.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Felt good about it. And I bet you're feeling good about the new Sleater Kinney album. New Rope.
Little Rope.
Fuck off.
It was such a good link.
It said new album, Little Rope. And what I've done as well is I've gone, there's a gig called Old Rope in London, comedy gig that we do. So then that's got in my head as well.
Oh, we're still connected. It was a really great transition, though.
It was so good.
It was so smooth.
That was the problem. He was so proud of the link.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That he then just completely dropped the ball on the name of the
album.
You were
like Icarus there for a moment. Yeah.
Those are my favourite bits, right? When people, I mean, not when it happens to me. I hated it. Mm. But, like, I love it when other people are really confident and fuck it up.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if I was you guys, I would have really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Big applause here.
Little Rope.
Little Rope.
And then you can... What the hell? Was that making a bit of my goddamn accent?
Little Rope, yes.
Little Rope. Apologies. And of course, it's following up your... you've had so many great Sleater Kinney albums in the past. The Forest.
Oh, The Woods, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know what the name of that album is. You were telling me about that album yesterday.
Yeah. I did it deliberately that
time. Yeah.
That's a good callback.
Yeah. It's a little bit of fun for me.
Yeah, we're excited that it's coming out. Well, I have a bandmate, Corin, but I'm here alone. So I'm personally excited. I don't want to sound like I split into two or anything. And we'll be back to tour with it.
How are you feeling about that? Do you like being on the road and touring with music?
I love playing the show. I mean, you guys tour, so I'm sure, I mean, you have your own stories, but I don't love sleeping in a different bed every night. I don't love the sort of disorientation of being on tour. I get a little tired from that, but the shows themselves are great. I just wish I could transport myself back to my bed every night.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I used to love that. I used to love staying in hotels and being in a new city the whole time. Now, no way.
Yeah.
Can't wait to get back home.
I'm opposite.
Really? You love being on tour?
I love
everything but the show.
Oh, yeah, basically. Correct. I know you said that as a joke. But I hate the shows and I love being in the hotel.
Yeah.
And I love service stations.
I love service stations.
I've been in the car, been at airports, all that. I love it. Really wish I didn't have to do the gigs.
The fans must love that, just knowing that.
Yeah.
It's pretty much what my entire new show's about as well, so I'm saying it to their faces. Are there any songs on this new album, Little Rope, that you are excited about performing live, that you're like, oh, that'll be... Or can you even tell before you've done them?
That's a good question, because...
It is a good question.
Thank you.
So it used to be, before everything was just thrown up on YouTube, I don't know, like, do you preview material before you go on the road?
Stand up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to, though. We have to write it on stage.
Right,
so
that's true.
Yeah.
Well, with music, we used to perform all the songs live almost before we went to the studio. And they're not always done necessarily. They'd be like, you know, temp lyrics, or maybe you'd end up changing like a bridge or chorus. But you could feel, what was great about it is you could test the songs. Like you test, I guess, your material on stage, where you can feel the energy of the crowd shift. So you think like, oh, this part is too long, or this bridge isn't working, or this chorus isn't strong enough. So that was a good way of helping to like arrange the songs or know when you had to change something. We don't do that as much anymore. So I don't necessarily know. We will probably test out most of the album live. And then every album has one or two songs that you just realize this is not going to work live. But I think this one, there's only 10 songs on it. We recorded many more, but we purposely made it pretty succinct. I think they'll all be good live. They have a lot of energy and restlessness and all the things that make for good live music. But Hunt You Down is a good one. That will be an Untidy Creature. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bangers on this album. There's just a lot of things that have, I don't know, feel very explosive and galvanizing. And those are my favorite to play.
So I think that's like any time I've had to do like, I don't know, some sort of public speaking that isn't comedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just feel without the laughs there, I don't know if I'm doing a good job or not.
Some comedians do shows where there's like loads of long bits with no laughs that are really emotional. And everyone goes, wow, that was such a great show. And I think maybe I should try that. And then within a minute of being on stage with no laugh, I'm like armpit farting, just desperate to get the audience back on side. Guys, please, I'm so funny.
That'd be good, though. I'd really like to see you do that as a routine.
Start
a really emotional bit and then start armpit farting because you're panicking.
This essentially sums up my shows.
Yeah. I'll be up for that.
Yeah, and that, I think that speaks to something just, I mean, that's very real. Like that is such a, that's so childlike to just be like standing there feeling sort of figuratively very naked and exposed and just then doing something that's so base that you get some kind of positive reaction.
No dignity whatsoever.
Yeah, just... I'll also try armpit farting during our sets after a slow song.
Your fans would want a really loud armpit fart.
Amplified, so probably through a distortion pedal.
Yeah, really discordant armpit fart.
Yeah, something with a lot of delay on it,
really go for it. Yeah. So before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about being a foodie. Would you call yourself a foodie? Would you go for that?
Well, I think what we were talking about is that term feels divisive and something like a misnomer, because of course, like if you like eating, I guess you're a foodie, but it has this connotation of suggesting that you only like fancy food or food made by a certain caliber of chef or a restaurant that's been rated, you know, by a critic or sort of collectively named as best of. But yes, I love food. I like checking out new restaurants. One of the reasons I like traveling is to find, you know, a local restaurant that it doesn't even have to be everyone's, you know, critically acclaimed, just this is my favorite place to go in this neighborhood. Like, I like mm-hmm. seeking that out. So in that sense, I'm a foodie, whatever that means. I like to eat.
Also, like, you did Portlandia. That is a very foodie city. Well, or is it just because it's hipstery, I guess? You got the foodiness.
Yeah, well, I think one reason Portland has great food is because it was, it's not as much anymore, but relatively affordable. So you have these chefs that, you know, are entrepreneurial and innovative, and they get kind of priced out of Los Angeles or New York or Chicago, where it's just, it's more treacherous to try to start a business there. So they come to Portland and they're, you know, people really want a new restaurant. You know, they're eager for cuisines that haven't, you know, really made their mark there. So you do get a lot of great restaurants commensurate to the size of the city. Like, I think Portland has as much great food as LA or New York, except that there's, you know, half or a fourth of the people there.
I had a pasta dish from Portland on my dream menu when we did our 200th episode.
You did? What was the, what from what restaurant?
I'm going to say the name wrong, probably. Magna Cuisina?
I don't even know that one.
Well, there you go. That shows you how much great stuff's in Portland.
Yeah. Magna Cuisina.
That's so good.
Downtown.
They did the Mama's Crab Fat Noodles. Oh. I don't know who Mama is.
So you like Portland? Or you like their food?
Yeah, I liked that. I liked that pasta dish. I wasn't there for very long. I was there for my gig and then out. My experience was I had that meal. The whole meal was amazing. And then I got in an Uber and the Uber driver said to me, "No alcohol in the car. You can put that on the road. That is not coming in the car." And I was like, "This is a Diet Coke." And he was like, I think he pushed it further and said, "I can read. I know that's a beer." And I had to show it to him. And then he was like, "Oh." And then I got in, and then we were in silence for a while. And then he started being like, "Support that's crazy, right?" And I was like, "Man, come on. I'm going to give you 5 stars either way."
Yeah, but that guy must have been through so much if he has to say no alcohol in the car immediately as everyone gets in.
Yeah.
Think of what that guy's been through.
As soon as he saw the cat, he was like, I know what's going to happen.
Do you call those roadies in the UK?
No. But maybe you'll start calling them.
I'm going to start calling them roadies.
I think in the US, I think it's more of a Texan term. Like, you used to be able to have open container, or we call it open container. Obviously, that's fully illegal now. But as a passenger, you could never drink and drive. Mm-hmm. But in Texas, at least, everyone else in the car could be drinking.
Yeah.
And you would just call it a roadie. You would take the, you know, as you're leaving the bar, take one for the road.
Love it.
Yeah.
Bot for the journ, yes. Which one of our previous guests, Emily Atack.
Yes.
That's what her family... Mm-hmm. Who, and we said this to her face, all have a problem. when they go somewhere to drink, they have to have a bot for the journ, which is a bottle for the journey.
Oh, so that it's seamless. So that there's never a break in the drinking. You pregame at home, bot for the journ, and then you get
I'd forgotten completely about bot for the journ.
I think about bot for the journ a lot.
Yeah. And I just stop and think about what he was talking about and then realise that's where it was from. We all stop still or sparkling water. Mm-hmm. Do you have a preference, Carrie?
I put still for the sake of this meal. I really think I love sparkling water, but I think still is a more neutral water. I think the sparkling water lobby has really done one over on us. I think still water is perfectly fine.
Okay. It is amazing that they've managed to, the sparkling water lobby, as you say, have managed to wiggle themselves onto the same level as still in a restaurant. Get offered both. Still should be default, right?
Yes.
You should have to request sparkling.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it goes better with food, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not all food. I like Italian, like sparkling water is great with Italian food. But I think for other foods, like Japanese, like I would much prefer still water. I don't want sparkling. It does something to the palate, I think.
Yeah, if you've got those more subtle flavors, sparkling water's attacking the palate, isn't it?
Yeah, just a lot of like zings and zaps. I do love sparkling, like a refreshing sparkling water, especially with a lot of bubbles, like a Topo Chico.
How many bubbles are in a Topo Chico?
That's like a contest where at a state fair where they... and
how
the one that comes
the
closest, you would get like a pig to take out. I couldn't tell you the actual number, but I would say a lot. Millions.
Millions.
Yeah. It's come out that way. It's unhealthy. There's actually something in there that's not... good for you.
I don't think I've had Topo Chico before.
I haven't had Topo Chico. I've never heard of it.
It's quite good. Next time you come to America, check it out.
Should I just have it straight away in the airport? when I
arrive. Oh, yes, yeah, right when you land. Yeah.
And then down it in one in the middle of the airport and then shout, I love Topo Chico, really loud. Is that how I should do it?
Yes, that's that's how they do it there.
What do you imagine the people of the Sparkling Water Lobby, what do you imagine they look like and how many are there?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I think they're well-dressed. I feel like the Sparkling Lobby, people are well-dressed, like a crisp white shirt, maybe a black blazer, suit jacket, glass, signature glass, statement glasses on a few
of them. Like really round glasses.
Round, yeah. Like, like bubbles. Where you're thinking like, you're right, shaped like bubbles, yeah. That's where like they could be architects. Yeah. They want to think of themselves as creatives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm imagining loads of them as well.
Oh, you're imagining loads. I was imagining like just five.
Oh, okay.
Oh, but you're imagining like they're actually like bubbles just
I wasn't daring to imagine anything yet because I know it's come from you.
Oh yeah. I was imagining like a small group that has a
very powerful
an inordinate amount of power.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just thinking like, wow, these five people have really changed the way that we drink water.
Yeah.
And you know, and then there's just one person that's wearing like a colorful tie, and that's the person that adds the flavor to the sparkling water.
Yeah.
You know, just a guy with like red glasses and like some like socks that are a little wacky.
Yeah.
And he was the first guy that said, "What if we added a little raspberry to this?"
He's like I assume it's like the Steve Wozniak of the group. Maybe.
He's the Wozniak.
He's getting screwed.
Yeah.
Like he's coming up with a lot of stuff, but like he's getting screwed, the guy.
Yeah.
And there's like a lot of other people are taking the credit.
He's going to write that book though, that we're, he's the disruptor.
Yeah. It's going to be an Apple TV series.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, the podcast first and then the documentary and then the limited series. Oh, I can't wait.
Also, I'm a bit tense now for the podcast. I don't know if you noticed, but there's a point there where Ed said they would have round glasses. And then I said round like bubbles. And then it was like, yep, that's what I meant. And listen, we're putting a good face on it now, but when you leave, that's going to be a blazing row. It's going to be really bad.
No, man, look, I set him up for
shouting at me,
the cleverer listeners, and then you make it clear for some of the stupider listeners. So that's fine.
Problems or bread? Problems or bread, Carrie Brownstein? Problems or bread?
Bread. I lived in Los Angeles for a little while, and I was shocked at the lack of bread eating there. I think bread is it's grains. I mean, how can we be denying ourselves this?
Yeah.
If I had to choose a daily choice, I would say bread.
And did you try and evangelize about bread in L.A.?
No point.
I was going to say, I'm not surprised to hear that people aren't eating bread in L.A. Yeah.
It's just reflexive. Someone comes. I don't even know why they offer it anymore. Like even at a restaurant where you should be getting bread, again, Italian food, you know, that's just common. You just in America, at least. I know in like proper Italian restaurants, even actually in proper Italian restaurants,
you get
some bread. They come, would you like some bread? Everyone declines. And I sit there very hungry. Also, croissant sings in the morning. Like I know it's not the healthiest thing, but coffee and like a croissant or some kind of baked good. It's shocking to me that people don't eat bread there.
Do you think the restaurants even have any bread, or do you think they've learned now that everyone's going to turn it down? If you'd said yes to bread, they'd really panicking.
Right, they're running to the store. Yeah, so with just they just present an entire loaf of sliced bread from the grocery store on my plate. Right, well, and then the whole restaurant turns like a record skipping, and everyone turns to look at me while I eat bread, and they're pointing, and it's like a horror film.
Yeah, that would
be a great horror film for Los Angeles. Is just a woman ordering bread in a restaurant while everyone else throws up. I loved when I went back to Portland, or would travel anywhere outside LA, just watching people eat bread.
Not even necessarily eating the bread yourself.
No, just enjoying
the
scenery.
Yeah.
You'd already been conditioned, so you couldn't eat it anymore, but you could watch people.
Yes, my bread, it had been diminished. I had to work back to bread eating again, yeah.
Climb back up.
Yeah.
Is there any particular type of bread that you would like for your dream meal?
There's this bakery in Portland, Dos Hermanos, and they make really amazing bread. And they do I guess they're buns or rolls, but they come in a round loaf that they've kind of scored. So you can sort of pull off these little rolls, and with some olive oil, that's a perfect bread to me.
Oh, great.
But their bakery is good overall. I also love like a whole grain or wheat bread, like putting some like a cheese on top, manchego. Oh. I wouldn't want burrata. What's the cheese that's a soft sheep's cheese on bread is great with like some tomatoes.
Why aren't you putting burrata on it? You can't dangle burrata in front of us like that.
I mean, I love burrata, but is, I think burrata, you don't really have that with bread though.
That's, yeah, I guess, yeah.
That's more like basil, tomato, olive oil, maybe some prosciutto.
Maybe pop some croutons on there. That might work.
Oh, croutons. Yeah.
A bit of texture.
Yeah. Croutons, also a great use of bread.
Yeah. Although I still get weirded out by the massive croutons. It doesn't make me feel good.
Which ones?
You mean the size?
The ones that are too big.
Oh, too big. No, so not copious, not the amount of croutons, but the size of a crouton.
Yeah. I want them like to be like as big as like a 2p max. Even that actually might be a bit too big for me.
2p max.
I like little ones, maybe like a pound coin.
Well, okay. How does this grab you? When I was growing up, my mum used to make a salad, right?
Yeah.
And she would just slice a baguette. So it was like slices of baguette and do them as croutons. So they're the size
that's fancy. That's sort of French, right? That's just a little fancy. And in a good way.
I couldn't do that.
Really?
Oh, it's nuts. That's nuts, Karen. They're like, that's too big for a crouton.
But I'm not asking you to swallow the whole thing.
But yes, is it just semantics here? Like, if it wasn't called a crouton, would you eat it?
Yeah. What if it's called,
what if it's called bread?
Yeah, little toasts.
Little toasts.
Lil Toast.
L-I-L. Yeah. L-I-L, yeah. I'd have Lil Toast.
Which is also my rap name.
You do a rap now?
Nope. I do not know how.
I wish more people did that.
Did what?
I wish more... I wish more celebs who are rappers, when asked to do a rap, said, no, because I don't know how to do that. But instead, a lot of them just do a rap.
Yeah, freestyle. I mean, that would be real false advertising.
Yeah.
If that's what you were known for, had put out records, and then when it's called upon to rap, you said, I actually don't know how.
I cannot do that.
That would be great. If Kendrick said that, I think it's the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
He went on a radio show, they said, can you freestyle? He went, I actually am not very good at that.
Honest.
I can't do that. Right. A really funny thing for him to say.
Well, as a guitarist, there's certain things, like some guitarists, like I'm much more riff based. I can do some solos, but I'm not like Stevie Ray Vaughan. So like if you said, can you play a Stevie Ray Vaughan solo? I would have to say no, but maybe it would be, I can see how it'd be tricky to just turn down a freestyle. But Ed did. You still have a chance.
Very impressive.
To date, I've always turned down freestyles.
Yeah.
I've never done a freestyle. I don't intend to do one ever.
Good on you.
Thanks.
Yeah, I also, good on you. Agree.
Right, because you said about the solos. We should really get into the meal proper. And but Benito's going to be amazed by this because it means that I know about another podcast, which is, he thinks it's amazing that I would know. Chris Shiflett from the Foo Fighters has a podcast where he tries to work out solos from songs.
Really?
Yeah, and he will often have, as a guest, like the guitarist who played the solo and talked to them.
Does he know they put all the tabs online and stuff? He could just...
I don't think he does know that. I mean, I've seen a couple of them. I watch
really,
them on YouTube.
You're ruining his podcast. It literally just got... As soon as this airs, his podcast is getting cancelled.
Yeah. There's no way you can carry that on.
He
doesn't
trust those, though.
He doesn't trust them.
I agree. Those are often wrong.
Right.
Because sometimes when we do covers, I will go to the tablature... I'll listen. You can sort it out, but often the really complicated ones you think, great, I'll go to the tabs. The other thing that you can do, though, although usually you're just staring at someone's crotch, because when people do YouTube videos, like instructional with instruments, especially guitar, they never think, this is just a video of my crotch. And so I'm really just staring. You're looking at the guitar, but you're thinking,
you know,
no one. Yeah, no one thought about the framing here.
Yeah.
anyway, there's a lot of great crotch videos where you can learn guitar.
Great. Is there a particular guitar solo that is like your favorite by another musician, by another guitarist, who you're like, that's my favorite guitar solo maybe to play or to listen to?
Oh, to listen to. A lot of the music that inspired me didn't have solos, like post-punk. Like it was so angular, like, Gang of Four, or Mekons, or The Fall. It was sort of purposely devoid of that, grandiosity. But I really love, like, St. Vincent's guitar playing. I mean, I love Jimmy Page. Prince has some great solos.
I was on a goddamn boat once with, and was it Danny Harrison was there, George Harrison's son?
Mm-hmm.
And only when I got off the boat, because I had a little brief chat with him, but got off the boat, realised that should have talked to him about when he performed While My Guitar Gently Weeps with Prince.
Wait, I was literally about to bring up that solo.
Yeah.
Because that is one of the best solos I've ever seen live. Also, the flex of being on stage with all of these guitarists. And it's not even Prince showing off. I mean, that is just the soul and genius of Prince, is that he cannot help but be brilliant when he plays. But also, it's a new way of listening to that song, right? Like, I guess it just transcends what the original song was, but also makes you sort of listen to it in a way where you're like, oh, this is a new meaning to this song. Like, it's so beautiful. And he's one of the best guitarists ever.
Do you want another meaning to that song? You should listen to the Spine Shank cover of it.
That's the meaning I've been waiting for.
Yeah. It's been out for a while. It's their debut, but it's good stuff.
Your dream starter.
Okay. I put the wedge salad.
Right.
Yeah, you have that over here.
Talk us through the wedge. I think I've had a wedge in the past.
Yeah. So the wedge, it feels slightly antiquated. It is iceberg lettuce, which probably has the least nutritional value of any lettuce. It's really just a green head of lettuce, but it's pale. You know, it looks like an anemic lettuce. And you want it really cold for a wedge salad. And then they just sort of chop it in half or into quarters. And then you add blue cheese dressing or blue cheese crumbles, I guess, if you were in sort of a fancier establishment, little cherry tomatoes and bacon crumbles. And that's sort of the classic wedge. And what I really crave often is food that sort of connects to my childhood or this sort of rudimentary like love of food that just, it's almost a little basic. So I think for this meal, I just thought like, oh, a wedge salad. When you get a good wedge salad, it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's like basically an ice sculpture just slathered in dressing.
Yeah.
The lettuce is just there as just a way to give you the blue cheese dressing.
Right.
And it's from the early 20th century, like around 1910, 1916. That's when salad dressings were also coming into vogue in America. Probably as a way of like drowning out like how rotten the lettuce was, right? They were just like, well, if you just pour dressing over this, that your chances of like food poisoning decrease. Anyway, I do love a good wedge, and they're traditionally served in like steak houses, but I feel like with a lot of food like that, like traditional food, they sort of get remade and sort of reconsidered in like nicer restaurants where people will do like their take on something. So
deconstructed wedge, that sort of stuff.
Oh, God. Yes. I love a deconstructed wedge. Yeah. 16ths instead of halves.
Yeah.
Right. Well, if you keep chopping it, it's just a regular salad.
You got to crumble your own blue cheese.
I think this is the first wedge salad we've had on.
Yeah, it might be.
It's the first time the wedge salad has come up.
It's very satisfying. You basically have to cut it with a steak knife. You know, it's a real hearty, not nutritionally, but just, it's ample. There's some girth there to that salad. I love a girth, a real heavy girth.
Or a shallow salad.
I love it. I mean, I love blue cheese on anything.
You do. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people don't like blue cheese. I think it's a great.
Yes. I don't respect people who don't like blue cheese. Grown adults who have a problem with it, who are like, but it's mold. Grow up.
I agree.
You're a grown up. You can't handle the fact there's a bit of mold in that. We all learned that when we were kids, but that's mold in the blue cheese. Everyone knows that.
If people don't like something, that's fine. But it's people who will see you eating blue cheese and go, how can you eat that? It's got mold in it.
That's a particularly aggressive kind of person that won't let you enjoy what you're eating because they have a strange relationship to it.
Yeah.
A lot, that happens kind of frequently.
Yeah.
Like people make comments based on their own issues with food.
Especially with blue cheese. That really brings them out of the woodwork.
Especially with blue cheese, yes.
My mum's a vegetarian. She's a lovely woman. She listens to every single episode of this podcast.
Yeah.
But once I ordered a mixed grill and she went, I'll give you bowel cancer. Ruined it before I even ate it.
Spoilt your birthday, didn't it?
Might as well have been my birthday. I don't even know what. Spoilt the meal.
Yeah.
She's a lovely... I was sharing that with my dad. That's a special moment as a Hang on, as what? A man?
You're sharing a mixed grill with your dad?
Massive mixed grill.
Oh, grow
massive.
Up.
He's my hero.
Are your parents still together, or was it like a pointed sort of?
Well, as far as I know, they are still together. I haven't spoke to them since yesterday, and who knows?
That would be incredible. I mean, it would be tragic if between yesterday and today.
Yeah.
Right. They.
I don't know.
Split.
I don't know if it would be.
Will you text your mum now and say, are you and dad still together?
Yes. Okay.
Well, I want to confirm.
I'll do
this.
It if Ed wants me to.
Because I want to be able to support you if it's something has changed.
Yes.
Because now that mixed grill is going to have even more meaning for you.
The last time you were with your parents when
you
they were together.
And dad still together. Is that what I should say?
Yeah.
Okay.
And don't say it's for the podcast.
I'm not saying it's for the podcast.
I hope she calls.
Yeah.
Yeah, she might do.
How long have they been together?
40 years.
That's sweet.
That's maybe, enough, isn't it, though?
Maybe just over 40 years now.
That'll do. Yeah. Knock it on the head now.
Yeah.
Get out while you know. Well, it's
well that's
still
the thing, I think, because like my whole life they've been together, and they've been a very sweet couple. So I think I'd find it really funny if they got divorced. I think it made me laugh quite a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, there you go. Oh. Immediate.
Yeah.
As far as I'm aware, have you heard otherwise?
Oh. That's what you said. You said as far as I'm aware.
No.
Yeah. I think we both said it.
Text your dad.
Yeah. But she worried. No, she's not.
We'll be waiting days for that response. Ed said you might be divorced. I'm just going to tell her that so that she knows that that's why I'm asking.
She's a lovely woman. She's a
lovely woman.
I agree. Yeah. I don't even know her, but keep me posted.
Terrible,
also,
terrible
apologies
cook.
To your mom because I feel like I've chosen some fish and meat almost in every course.
And you started with the wedge salad.
Started with a wedge salad.
That's good meat.
But it has bacon.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I wasn't paying attention to the full.
No, it's fine.
I was thinking too much about the blue cheese.
There is something in America called Bacobits.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And they are vegan. They're actually vegan. But they emulate the flavor of bacon. You're making a... Like, oh, you love
them.
Ben
loves them. Ben's a veggie.
But Ben, your face was telling me you didn't love them. That's your face of love. That's okay.
Yeah.
So when you love something, it's that face. Okay.
Well, if he's in a room with us, that's the most love he can muster.
Okay. Yeah. Well... Anyway, Bacobits. So for the vegans out there, well, the blue cheese wouldn't be vegan.
The
for the vegetarians
either.
Out there, you can do a wedge salad with Bacobits.
Bacobits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a shout out to Bacobits. And if the people at Bacobits want to send us some, then Benito would love it.
I will take Bacobits as a way to just veer me towards vegetarianism. So send them to me too.
Oh, to your house? Okay.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me give my address.
You can put them on your rider for your tour.
Bacobits. Oh, yes. Yes. Just sprinkle them on anything.
What is in your rider for your tour? Do you have any outrageous demands?
We don't really have outrageous demands. No. First of all, you're paying for the rider. You know,
yes.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I feel
people
like
forget that.
People forget that. So I think there's no reason to make... There are a lot of gratuitous riders that we've all heard about. But I just think, listen, they wanted that and they paid for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what? One thing that I've heard about that actually sounds amazing are... socks, like clean socks would be great. Yeah. I would take a fresh pair of socks on tour, white
that's
or black, just some
idea.
Basics.
Yeah.
Because I would even, I've been away for about 10 days now. I only brought one pair of black socks, which was a very amateur move. And I will admit that I've just been re-wearing them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And if someone delivered to me on a backstage rider, a fresh pair
that's
of black
be a
socks,
great show.
It's a great show. I would throw my others out immediately.
Yeah. You know, Carrie's just got the new energy tonight. I don't know what's going on.
It's the socks.
There were socks on the rider.
Yeah.
The new socks.
It's the new socks. But no, mostly just basics, you know, sandwich making ingredients, tea. There is some tequila on there. We're not really big drinkers before we play, but it's nice to have a drink afterwards. I had a Vitamix so that I could make a smoothie when we got to soundcheck.
How long did you keep that up?
Yeah, that sounds like...
It was disgusting. Yeah. Also, you cannot guarantee that the fruit is going to be fresh.
Yeah.
You know, because it's often just someone, a runner, basically, was what they call the people that go shopping for you, for your rider. And, you know, I can't expect them to spend a lot of time, like, hunting down fresh fruits. So it would be, you know, green bananas and moldy blackberries. That's not something you want to blend together.
In your head, I bet it was such a good idea before you went on the tour.
So healthy.
It's going to be the best tour ever. I'm going to have a fresh smoothie every time I get to the venue. Yeah.
Also, no one's cleaned that Vitamix. It's one of those Vitamix.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might as well make them in your fucking socks.
Yeah.
You wear it every day. Gross. My mum seems to be fine with all that now.
Okay, yeah. Good. I'm glad
they're still together.
They're still together.
But do you think it put an idea in her head?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I feel closure, though. I'm happy for your parents. Are your parents still together, Ed?
My mum has just texted me asking me if me and my girlfriend are still together. Shall I say no for a laugh?
First of all, that would be so sweet if she thought that was your way of initiating a conversation about a breakup, is to say, hey, are you guys still together? Because I'm not.
I'm going to check to see if we're in the same club.
Yeah, just going through a breakup, you and your mom at the same time. Oh, and a mother-son on a dating app.
Yeah.
I love that as a dating app that we could create today.
Yeah.
It's kind of a daddy daughter mother son.
So the picture would be James and his mum, the profile picture.
Yeah, looking for a father daughter. That...
What a specific dating app. Sons and mothers who are looking for father daughter pairs.
We're looking
to make a new family.
There's something a little heartbreaking about it, but also very sweet.
Very sweet, yeah. And also slightly weird.
Slightly weird.
Yeah. Is this weird as well? My conversation with my mum's finished now, but
wait, because she just said, "Please don't text me."
Well, no, just it doesn't say typing, and with my mum, it either says typing or she's not going to text because she's very quick to text back.
Yeah,
so I know that's over now. So you and Dad still together, as far as I'm aware. Have you heard otherwise? Ed said you might be divorced. Why might that be? He said if I hadn't checked recently, then who's to say? Well, I guess there's some truth in that. Yeah, I guess so. Are you and your girlfriend still together? And I said, yes, we're in love. And she said, well, that's good, isn't it? Dad and I are in love too. I said, yeah, that's good. I'm glad to hear it.
That's it.
End of my conversation with my mum.
Yeah.
That's a short story right there.
Yeah.
James is the perfect product of both of his parents.
Yeah.
That conversation with your mum there is like a conversation I would have with you.
Yeah.
And then your dad is just chaos.
Yeah.
Chaos. Okay.
Yeah.
But in a good way, in a sweet way.
Yeah.
In a very sweet way.
Are you in love with is this the first time your girlfriend will hear that?
Yeah, she's not.
They'll be going out for 4 days.
Yeah. She doesn't know much about me.
Yeah, we're going to have to release this episode in 2 years' time to make it seem okay.
My mum has just texted me asking if Ed and his wife are still together.
Yes, we are, as far as I'm aware.
In love?
We were, yes. This morning we were in love.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed,
Answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Your dream main course, Kat. We should get away from this.
I apologize. This is also a little pedestrian, but when I was a kid, my mom got a little fed up with trying to come up with meals, you know, for the family. My dad did not cook, and so you know, he barbecued, as a lot of American dads do, you know. But how often do you barbecue? Like a couple times in the summer. So
5 times a week.
Oh, really?
During lockdown, five times a week.
Everyone was very concerned about it.
Yeah, I'd lost my mind.
Okay. Yeah. Well, these are pre-lockdown days by, you know, 30 years. So my mom came up with the solution that we would put our favorite meals on a paper, you know, write them down on a piece of paper, fold them up, put them in a bowl, and we would pick it every night.
That's fun. Oh,
wow. It's fun, but it ended up, I think she was trying to prove a point, because we ended up basically with the same, you know, handful of dinners. But my sister and I preferred tacos. Uh-huh. So what we ended up doing, we would just pick tacos every night. And so I've picked tacos, just homemade tacos, which are absolutely inauthentic, as my main meal. Because I really do love you have all the ingredients out. Again, straying from any authenticity. Lots of sour cream, lots of cheddar cheese grated. You can do a ground beef or just beans. And I would eat about 8 to 10 tacos a night for dinner.
Are we talking the hard shell tacos? Are we talking like old El Paso kits?
We did do hard shell, but we also had soft shell. I like to vary it. So that would be my main meal, but this is sort of, I guess, very non-traditional. The other meal that we would pick out of the bowl was a spaghetti bolognese. So I would just want a little side of bolognese with these tacos.
Yeah. Would you be tempted to put the bolognese in a taco just as an experiment?
Actually, that is a great use of leftovers. Mm. Sometimes when I will make like a good meat sauce, the next day for lunch, I will reheat the sauce and put them on a corn tortilla.
That's fusion cooking.
It's fusion cooking.
Italian and Mexican.
Yeah.
Great. I'd love a bolognese taco.
Yeah. So essentially, I guess we've just reduced it to a bolognese taco. But I'm very fond of that era of my family. Like it just was, we still all ate together at a table. Mm. I associate it with, you know, coming home from school and looking forward to it and helping my mom. I think she also appreciated the way that we could each set out the ingredients, and it made her life easier. So then I think we just all enjoyed dinner a lot more.
It is interactive. Like if you've got to build the thing, then families have to talk to each other, even if they're just saying, can you pass the sour cream?
Exactly.
That's conversation.
It's conversation.
Also at that age, being in charge of your food, even in that way.
Mm. Yeah.
And yet to decide how much goes in feels really liberating.
It's liberating, and you can really mess with proportion, right? Because if you go to a restaurant, of course, they're going to limit you to a certain amount of sour cream or guacamole or cheese. But if you're making your own, it can be disproportionate. You can have a mountain of cheese and no lettuce.
Is that what you would do? What are your favorite proportions for the taco?
Heavy on dairy.
Heavy on dairy.
Light on protein. I was also the kind of kid when we would go to restaurants and they would have those little like pats of butter where I would just eat that
straight.
straight in.
Yeah. I still have quite a high metabolism. So I think I just was always just looking for just an injection of fat.
Anything you could store.
Anything
on board.
I could store. Yeah. like a bear. Now, of course, I mean, this all sounds really terrible for your heart, no matter what, but I think as a kid, you're not worried about heart health.
No.
I think if I met a kid who was worried about their heart health, I'd be more worried about that.
Yeah.
You know, if a kid was going, oh, I can't have that. I'm worried about my heart health.
Well, where's this kid from?
I don't know. Just the womb, you know. Do kids have nationalities? I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting.
They're just kids.
They're just kids, yes.
I don't know where I'm from.
It's like
funny kid.
Dickensian adjacent
Dickensian adjacent. Okay. Yeah, yeah. He's from the past. Yeah.
Quite American, though.
Now and again, he is, yeah.
Sounds like quite
now
American.
And again.
Yeah.
Yes. American Dickensian adjacent.
Yeah, there's a twang.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mr. Hanky in there.
That's Kid Fusion right there, Ed.
Yeah, it's Kid Fusion. He's Mexican and Italian.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Good. It sounded like neither.
Yeah.
Little bolognese taco.
Yeah,
he's a bolognese taco.
Who would have the most tacos in your family when you did the...
Definitely me or my sister. I mean, I think both my mom and dad held back. You know, I think a traditional amount of tacos would be three.
Tops. But that's not enough, though,
that's
is it?
That's not enough. I also think, especially in America, there was something, I think you guys don't have this here, where, you know, we would have those buffet-style restaurants. It's really, it's a little grotesque and very indulgent, but you would just pile food on your plate. Mm-hmm. So I think there was something exciting about just a bottomless sort of tortilla. You know, going back into the to the kitchen for the fifth, sixth, seventh taco.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
And doing something different with each one, right? So you might do like a traditional one to start, and then by the fourth taco, you're like...
Just cheese, honestly.
It's going to be a remix. I'm remixing
I love remix. Also, what I would often do is kind of go quesadilla by the end. Nice. You know, so I would just... You have a microwave.
Yeah.
Again, not how they're usually made. Just put a little cheese on a tortilla. Fold it. Put it in the microwave, blast it till it's just, you know, melted and crispy at the same time.
You kidding me? That's not the traditional way of making quesadillas in Oaxaca or something.
Just a microwave. Yeah, just stems from a microwave. I wonder, did the microwave invent any food? Did the microwave...
Oh, good question.
Pop-tarts.
Like mug cake?
What's monk cake?
Mug cake.
Oh,
so you put
monk
cake.
Well, the monks used to use microwaves for their cakes.
You know, like you can do microwave cake in a mug.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I guess that must be because of the microwave, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And chefs do use that sometimes because you get a weird texture, like a very airy, light texture on cake.
Oh, so that a microwave is known for a light, airy texture.
Yeah, genuinely, and chefs will use that on desserts. Yeah.
That makes sense. I associate it with, you know, about 500 degrees in the core.
Yeah.
Yeah, or the opposite. It's actually 500 degrees on the crust and then ice cold in the center, which is what's great about a microwave when you're reheating.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you get like two bites that like singe your tongue.
Yeah.
And then that cold ball of ice in the middle to soothe
it. Lovely. And the wettest lasagna, that's what I think of.
Yes, very watery.
Yeah, watery, wet lasagna with no, you can't get a crispy top in a microwave.
No.
Awful.
Do you still have a microwave?
Yeah, the freaking things broke off of it. the goddamn dial.
I think it is good for a reheat and thawing.
We don't have one. We just don't have room for one to the place we moved into. So it's oven or nothing. So to reheat leftovers, it's like, in a pan or in the oven.
Yeah, it helps me not waste food. Like, especially if I've had takeout the night before, you know, then because to reheat certain things in an oven or on the stove.
Yeah, and you get to that point where you're like, it's going to take half an hour to reheat this now. May as well cook something.
I don't know if this is controversial, but like,
yes,
I will reheat it in the pan instead. I've got the microwave option, but I don't trust it. I don't trust it to do a good enough job. So I'll go in the pan every time. I get my big wok out. I love my big wok. Shout out to the big wok. And like, I just put it all in there and I hate it all. Me, just do it all in there.
Okay.
I didn't know he had a big wok.
I didn't.
Big wok. Big red wok.
The way you did the shout out was almost like it was a brand, but you're just literally talking about you have a big wok.
Yeah. But I'd say
he's just shouting out to his particular big red wok.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's an odd guy.
I hope it returns the love. It was very earnest. It was like you're shouting out to a pet a little bit.
Well, it's one of the few things that's like, it's come with me from like each. So I think I was given it as a present one year when I just moved out. Mm-hmm. And it's been with me in every place that I've lived in. And it was always like, everything else was like that I was taking from flat to flat was pretty rubbish. Mm-hmm. And this big red wok looked badass compared to everything else. It was like, where's he got that from? Who gave him that? Because everything else he's got is shit. Yeah. And then I had this big red wok.
Throughout all this time.
Yeah. So, you know, it means a lot to me, that big red wok.
But what if the big red wok is responsible for your failed relationships? Think about that. What if it's cursed?
Worth it, because I love it. I love that wok.
This is either... I feel like I'm trying to help you guys get other ventures, but great children's book, Big Red Wok.
Yeah.
Or another podcast where you view all of your relationships through the wok.
Yeah.
I'd love that podcast.
Yeah. I like that.
I'm happy to step in as a second associate producer if you want.
Just Ben, are you up for doing that?
No.
Ben, you're doing your loving face or your sad face?
Big Red Wok.
You know, if this guy's at the helm, it's going to do well. Big Red Wok.
Yeah. Now, some people listen to any shit I do. Your dream side dish, Carrie.
Okay. For my side dish, I would go with nigiri, like a bluefin toro nigiri sushi from Nozawa in Los Angeles or Sushi Park. Just something that is clean and perfect and sort of melts in your mouth. Mm. I definitely need a palate cleanser with this meal. Mm-hmm. So I love the simplicity of nigiri sushi.
Have we had nigiri sushi before? Again, I think we've got a lot of firsts here.
My episode 200.
Oh, did you?
Scallop nigiri.
Also good.
Also good. And also refreshing.
It is refreshing.
Palate cleanser.
Yes.
Is it quite a fatty tuna, this one?
Yes. Yeah. It's belly.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Yeah. And if it's fresh, which hopefully it is up here on the West Coast, it is sort of buttery. It's just, and very smooth. I think sushi to me is just a perfect food, no matter which variety or fish it is. I could eat sushi every day, probably.
What's your soy and wasabi set up for this
okay,
course?
Okay, so at Sushi Park in Los Angeles, they will tell you, if you get omakase, you know, which is where the chef just basically chooses the sushi for you until you're full, the staff there, as they present it to you, will say no soy sauce, depending.
Yeah.
And I think with tuna, you can do soy. So I would do a little bit of soy, maybe no wasabi. Sometimes they will put a little wasabi between the rice and the piece of fish, and that's all I would need. But when you eat omakase, what I like learning is that, you know, soy sauce is unnecessary for a lot of this fish.
It totally is. And you eat nice sushi and you realize that. But you learn about all the rules as well of if you do have soy sauce, it goes on the fish, not on the rice, because it's going to mess the rice up. What? And that little bit of wasabi. And all of that. And if I'm out and about and I see people eating sushi, I love telling them that. And also,
I love interrupting a meal.
Yeah, excuse me, you're doing that wrong.
I will come in from outside if I see someone dining in a restaurant. Yeah.
Some sushi places, they put it in your hand, like directly.
Oh, I've never had that.
Like warm rice, put it in your hand and then you just eat it with your hands. So there's all these amazing traditions and stuff and the correct way to eat sushi. But if I'm at home and I order sushi, I'm getting the bottle of soy sauce out and I'm going crazy with it.
Oh, I see.
I'm basically filling a cereal bowl up with soy sauce and just pouring all the sushi in.
Like the little...
Yeah.
It's like it's a cereal.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think Western cultures in particular, we love our sauces and dips. Mm-hmm. You know, like I love, like with French fries, lots of ketchup. And I think we do the same thing with soy sauce. But I do like learning that it's unnecessary in a lot of ways. And I love the ritual of eating Japanese food.
Yeah.
Like it's just also it's the right size. Mm-hmm. And I feel like everything else I've put in this meal is just, it's heavy.
You just had eight tacos.
Had eight tacos. Before that, I had a wedge salad.
Yeah. So how many pieces of this sushi you got?
Probably two.
Two little pieces.
Actually, in these restaurants, probably just one perfect piece of nigiri.
Wow.
Which I would want more. But in this case... It would probably just be that perfect little palate cleanser.
I'm no soy sauce.
None.
None.
Ever.
No. Mm-hmm. Not, I used to.
Even with like shit sushi.
I ain't eating the shit stuff.
If you go to Itsu or something, and you know, it's fine.
That's a fancy place.
No, Itsu's like a chain sort of. It's all, you know, in the fridges and stuff, and you just go and grab it quickly. I mean, it's fine. It's good for a quick lunch.
Good chain sushi.
But would you not use soy sauce for that?
Yeah, probably. Actually, even now, I probably wouldn't with that Itsu sushi. I just go for it as it is. I used to. Put loads on it, on the Itsu one.
I think with like store-bought sushi or like a sushi chain, like we have a couple in Portland, also in Los Angeles, where it's a train. Do you have these?
Oh, yeah.
Where you're just picking sushi off the little conveyor belt. That sushi, I would definitely do soy sauce.
Because that's been there for
a bit. It's been there for a bit. Yeah. Like a California roll, like anything that sort of has that generic quality.
You almost need it to sort of moisten up the rice.
Yes,
again.
You have to re-moisten.
I went to one of those sushi train places in Japan a couple of years ago. It's called Genki Sushi, but apparently it's shut now. I'm gutted because I really wanted to go again. And you're sat next to the conveyor belt, but there's not stuff going around the whole time. You order on an iPad.
Oh.
And then like 3 minutes later, it just comes shooting down the conveyor belt and stops in front of you, and it's fresh, delicious, warm sushi.
This is making me hungry for sushi.
Yeah.
This is the first thing I've mentioned that's actually made me hungry.
Yeah.
Yes, makes me want to eat it.
Yeah.
Would you like it to come on a conveyor belt?
If you can make that happen.
Yeah, of course we can.
If you could be in one of those restaurants and put anything on that conveyor belt for a laugh, what would you put on there that would amuse you? Send it round the conveyor belt.
I'd love to see a kitten come by.
Yeah. Not a kitten on there. Yeah. What about you?
I mean, it just goes by as well. You're not interacting with a kitten.
Yeah.
It just goes past you.
Yeah. I would love that if it was all edible and then just a little kitten went by.
Looking at you, making eye contact with you.
Yeah, a little wink.
Yeah.
Daring me to eat it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, buddy.
Don't know how much it cost.
Only based on the cost, I would be worried. Yeah. Like, I don't want to eat you. This could be thousands of dollars.
In the horror film about LA that we're writing, the one with the bread.
Oh, the kitten comes down and someone eats it.
Someone eats the kitten.
Right, because it's all protein. It's a Mediterranean diet.
Yeah, I'm thinking like there's like a woman there who looks like an Instagram model and she just unhinges her jaw and pushes the whole kitten.
Whoa, this guy.
Good film though, right?
If there's any producers listening, any studio execs listening, we have a great idea for a horror script.
It's called Hell A.
Oh,
right.
This is great.
Yeah.
Whole thing's like hell.
You've got the pitch sorted and everything.
Yeah.
That's the elevator pitch, but wait till we have our full deck.
All
the references. And then Ed does the job.
You've got to learn to do that, mate. Yeah. You can't just describe that.
Ugh. Yeah.
Creep myself out.
And we put a little kitten on the table in the boardroom, and people are like a little shocked by it.
Yeah.
No, we're here to be controversial. This is not for the faint of heart.
This has got A24 written all over it.
Yeah. Call us A24.
I love it. Your dream drink.
Old fashioned. I love an old fashioned, especially in the fall and winter. I usually have it with rye. It's a little spicier. And I also like making old fashions. I started making them in the pandemic, which feels sort of shameful to be talking about just the increase. I feel like it was very common during the pandemic that people drank more. Mm-hmm. I don't think I drank more actual drinks, but I started making drinks for the first time. I never used to make mixed drinks at home.
Yeah.
But we needed something to do.
I feel like old fashioned is a completely respectable thing to make at home as well.
Yeah, it's not like I was making a pitcher of mojitos every night, it's very like spirit forward. There's something kind of pure and simple about it. Mm-hmm. But I love, there's a bar in Portland called the Pacific Standard, and a bartender. He's also one of the co-owners. His name is Banjo, which is also the name of my dog. It's really weird when you meet someone that has your dog's name.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, it's not like my dog's name is like Mick or John. Sure. Like, this is a Banjo.
He's got a dog. The bartender's got a dog's name, not the other way around.
I agree. Yeah. If my dog, I used to have a dog since passed away. His name was Toby, and that's on me. I'm going to run into a Toby out there. But when you name your dog Banjo, you expect only to be communicating with either the instrument or other animals. You don't expect to walk into a bar.
Yeah.
And meet a man named Banjo.
Yeah.
Anyway, he makes a mean old fashioned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think anyone who didn't like do that during the lockdowns has got to be feeling pretty gutted now that they missed out.
It's not acceptable anymore.
Yeah, they missed out on this period where
it was absolutely acceptable to be drinking at any time during the day. Although I always waited, I would just wait until 5 o'clock, and 5 o'clock was so arbitrary, truly, truly arbitrary. But it would come around and I would start the drink making. And also remember, now I think of it as very silly when you would meet up with other people on Zoom to drink together. Yeah. It feels very depressing.
I was making espresso martinis. That felt like a step too far. I mean, espresso martinis just buzzing in my own house. There's nothing to do, nowhere to go, just up all night.
Barbecuing.
Yeah.
Barbecuing and espresso martini. What a combo.
We did Scroobius Pip's drunk podcast. Yeah, we had to do that on Zoom. It's like a drunk podcast. And we got drunk together on that, didn't we?
It's one of the worst nights of my life. Horrible.
That's like that TV show Drunk History, you know, people drink.
We've done that as well. Yeah.
One of the worst times of my life.
Yeah.
Actually, Drunk History was fine. See, Drunk History, the thing with that is that, you know, because it's like for a TV show. Have you done it?
No.
The thing with that, because they're doing it for a TV show, they got to like be responsible. Mm-hmm. So they're like, okay, you know, here's all the health and safety stuff and all that. So they're like, okay, make sure he's eating something. And like we got someone on standby, like first aider doing breathalyzer and all of this. So they actually get you hammered, but in a way where you still feel quite good. So I remember getting home. I mean, the only confusing thing was that the washing machine, which was on a timer, came on. And I was like, I literally phoned my girlfriend at the time and was like, there's a ghost in there. But like that's the only thing that was confusing for me. But like I didn't at any point, you know, didn't get upset or angry or scared. Right. I only of the ghost. And then I went to sleep. I actually didn't feel that bad the next day.
So it's physician assisted drunkenness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, you that's know, would good. Be a lovely privilege if we could all do that every time.
Yes. Yeah. Like if there was a club, like a bar with a membership or a pub with a membership, and what you were paying for was this doctor to be there to help administer the alcohol. So you were having a really bespoke inebriation.
I'll tell you where they'd have that. In LA.
Oh, yeah.
The doctor. That would be just, that's not part of the story.
That's a scene. That's just, something takes place. Yeah, it's texture. Yeah.
Be one of those crazy doctors, though. You know, with the, who wears that like metallic disc on their head.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like an evil doctor.
Yeah.
I've never actually seen a doctor who wear those. But like, you know, in the films they wear, they have the CD on their head.
Something from like a David Cronenberg film or Kubrick. Yeah. Where it's just sort of a demonic doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could have that character in the film.
I think we should. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I guess like if you did have a bar where it was like, we have doctors on stamp who basically just help you get the right amount of drunk and all this, those doctors would be the dodgiest doctors, right?
Oh, yes. They would have already, this is post-medical license, revoking, right? This is after they've been barred from practicing elsewhere.
Yeah,
now they're working at a bar.
Yeah.
With a doctor, basically in quotes at this point.
Yeah, because they're drunk as well, obviously. Yes, they're working a bar every night.
Yeah, but wait, we're just talking about bartenders, right, now?
Oh, yeah, we are, yeah. Okay. Doctors of bars,
yeah.
I'm imagining, you know, Peter Stormare's character in Minority Report. Mm-hmm. Where he goes to get the new eyes, and he's just disgraced.
Your references are so modern and cutting edge, James.
Well, listen, the Minority Report's set in the future, so.
Fair enough.
But like, he's nuts, that doctor.
I would love to see Minority Report top the streaming charts after people listen to this podcast.
Yeah. That's where we know we've got influence.
Yeah.
When Minority Report gets re-released in cinemas.
Yeah, when Tom Cruise is thanking you guys personally.
Yeah.
Finally. And producing Hele for us.
Oh, yeah. He would do that.
He would.
He'd be
a little cameo in Hele as well.
Oh. Get him to do a massive stunt. Film that. Get that going viral.
But just in the background through a window.
Yeah.
You just see, if you pause it, you could just see him on a motorbike flying off the top of a crane.
You hardly see it in the film, but the whole like video that we make, the behind the scenes one, that goes viral. Doing it, going like,
no one sees the movie, but everyone sees this
everyone
video.
Sees that, sees him doing the jump.
Yeah.
We all celebrate, and he gets on the walkie-talkie. I think I can do another one. Yeah. It wasn't perfect.
Why are the cameras so far away?
Yeah, I wanna make a $40 million movie that tanks only so we can get some 10-second BTS footage of Tom Cruise that goes viral.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this old-fashioned sounds delicious.
Mm.
And we love old-fashions. We were in a bar recently. It was old-fashioned month. We took advantage of that.
There's a promo on for old-fashioned month.
Okay. I thought you said old-fashioned Mumford.
Oh, yeah.
So old-fashioned. Well, that guy's pretty old-fashioned anyway.
He is old-fashioned. I thought, you were doing a promo for from Marcus Mumford.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is why I need captions. I need closed captions here. It's a little subtitle sometimes.
Got an old-fashioned Mumford.
Yeah, some old-fashioned.
So pre-Dust Bowl era.
Yeah. Apart from that.
So you were just drinking old fashions.
Yeah, yeah.
So you would drink them in earnest. You would drink them.
Yeah, love old fashions. Yeah. Nearly ruined old fashions for myself a couple of years ago. Had my friend and our friend Nish Kumar over to the house. We just moved into the house, and we thought, we're going to make our own old fashions. Had a bottle of bourbon, and had all the stuff for old fashions, and we had a couple of them. We were like, great, this is really nice. Kept on making them. Got through a bottle of bourbon. And then we'd run out of like the orange to do the orange peel, but I had some satsumas. So I was just like dunking half a satsuma in there, like just like sugar cube, not even crushing it up, bitters, just necking basically the entire bottle of whiskey. And that was a bad night.
Yeah, that is a bad night. Do you have Spodies?
Spodies?
When you were saying dunking satsumas, I was thinking of in high school and university. I didn't actually drink in high school, but in university, people would fill a bathtub with alcohol and put fruit in it. And then you would just take a ladle and pour it into a cup from a bath, from a bath of college students.
Yeah,
that were used.
So
it wasn't a new bath that they bought specifically.
Absolutely not. No. I mean, if you were lucky, sure, someone would bring like a bucket.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you were unlucky and didn't care, it would just be a bathtub. And if it was cleaned, that's almost worse because then you're just also drinking whatever
like bleach and stuff,
terrible, cheap cleaning product they've used. But anyway.
I've not heard of the direct alcohol directly into the bathtub. Obviously, at party, I remember at student parties when you'd like fill up the bath with ice.
Well, that's
and put cans
safer.
In there and
that's
stuff.
Safer.
That's way safer.
Fair enough with that.
Yeah,
I think that's how that crazy doctor keeps things in Minority Report. He's got a bathtub full of ice.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he has Tom Cruise in there. But like, all I know about American like you know university parties is like from films.
Yes.
Obviously, I've never been to one. Mm. I wasn't a student in America and. Nowadays, it would be inappropriate.
Well, I didn't go to those. You mean if you went now, it would be inappropriate.
It would be bad. But like, I'd see it from films. They've all got the red cups and stuff.
Yes, the solo cups.
Mm.
Yeah. I didn't go to that kind of university.
Right.
Like a big party university. But I think in different regions of America, what I've just described has a different name. You know, like Spodey would be maybe that was West Coast. Mm-hmm. It would probably be called something else in the South or on the East Coast or Midwest. And maybe people will call in. Do people call in to
people
your show?
People call in. Yeah, we're not any callers yet.
Yeah.
We haven't lit up the lines yet.
Well, call in and tell us what you called a Spodey.
Your dream dessert, Carrie.
I do have a sweet tooth, so this was difficult. But I went with something very simple and something that I eat quite often. There is a Oregon-based... Oregon, meaning the state of Oregon, not human organs.
What a twist that would be.
Yeah. They're in the state of Oregon, maybe actually specifically from Portland. There is an ice cream sandwich company called Ruby Jewel, and they have very, very delicious ice cream sandwiches. And I really like their mint sandwich. So it's mint ice cream with chocolate cookies, a soft cookie. And it is just a perfect dessert. You can split it in half if you just want a little bit of sweetness. Or you can just go full cookie. But I really like the simplicity of that. I really like ice cream, but I feel like it's the perfect amount and it's not too sweet and it's not too indulgent, but I do like a little sugar after a meal.
I mean, I know James is a massive ice cream sandwich fan and so am I. I feel like they're a relatively late arrival to this country, ice cream sandwiches.
Relatively, yeah.
I don't remember growing up with ice cream sandwiches.
For sure. I remember hearing about, you know, maybe seeing it in an episode of Boy Meets World or something. and
Topanga chugging down an ice cream sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe even Mr. Feeny.
Oh, you sound so wistful talking about Boy Meets World. I can now picture your childhood a little bit more clearly.
Yeah, yeah.
We always had ice cream sandwiches in America. Much simpler. I think like the classic Klondike or a few brands. You know, just a very thin chocolate cookie, often rectangle. But now these are circular.
Yeah.
These are round. And I do, and they're very popular. There's so many different flavors. Ruby Jewel just introduced an espresso chocolate one, which I want to try. Yes. They also have a really good butterscotch one with an oatmeal cookie. So they change up the cookie, which is, I think, also.
Very important. Yeah. I like the changing up of the cookies. Like that's... That's essential. Mm-hmm. You got to get the right combo.
Yeah, they have a lemon cookie with strawberry ice cream.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I bet I can tell James is excited about this, but also annoyed that last time he was in Portland, he didn't have Ruby Jewel.
I'm trying to think what I had. I mean, I must have had a dessert.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was in each city for like a day.
Yeah.
So I had to like properly take it in and try stuff. But like, I can't think if I had an ice cream sandwich. I definitely didn't go to Ruby Jewel. So I've got to go back. I went out with someone once and they did not like mint choc chip ice cream. They thought it was disgusting.
Deal breaker for you.
I was like, I knew it shouldn't have been. It shouldn't be a thing. But I was like, realistically?
So how did it go? They said, I don't like mint choc chip ice cream. And then you just said goodbye. You picked up your big red wok and you left.
Yes.
Oh, you were living together at this point.
Yeah. I was making mint choc ice cream in the big red wok. I was like, oh, you
don't want I don't like that. Goodbye.
Oh, I'll see you later. I'll eat this in the elevator on the way home.
What do you think is, in all honesty, though, like the hardest combination? Like when you're with someone that doesn't like something, what's a food that makes it difficult if they don't like it?
I mean, definitely ice cream, to be honest.
Yes.
I love ice cream so much. I get such joy from it. Mm-hmm. And like we were talking about earlier, with people saying stuff that can ruin a meal for you, mm-hmm. often if people don't like ice cream, they can say stuff that is a bit, like, you don't want to be reminded that something's not very good for you mm-hmm. when you're eating it and it's delicious. So when they're just like, oh, you can eat all of that. Imagine the amount of calories in that. That's nuts. And this is their problem.
Yes, it's a projection. I will zoom out from that. I just think in general, when people say, I don't eat dessert.
Yeah.
It's like a rule. Yeah. I don't think anyone needs to eat dessert every night. I'm not saying like mm-hmm. it's a necessary part of a meal, but to just ban it sort of globally in your life and to make a statement like that, I find it's almost like someone doesn't know how to have fun or mm-hmm. allow pleasure in their life. Like, I don't eat dessert. Just that phrase to me is so off-putting.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's such a source of pleasure, mm-hmm. joy, happiness that if someone is just like, well, I don't do that, it's like, well, how is this going to work? Because I can't just like, what I'm meant to just enjoy this thing on my own.
You're perfectly happy to do that. I don't know what you're talking about. You will always eat dessert on your own if you have to.
It's fine if they would just like not say anything about it, but they're always going to say something about it. Because anyone who doesn't like desserts, they're never just secure in that.
Well, also they'll be like at the end of a restaurant meal, they'll be the ones going like, oh, let's go.
Yeah.
You're like, no.
Oh, the worst thing.
Here we go. This is bringing up a lot of stuff.
At a restaurant.
Great question,
this is the worst thing. And it's not even people like, it's thinking about dessert guilt at a restaurant. You got to the end of the meal, you're all thinking, oh, should we have dessert? I'm not sure. Maybe you're all like, you know.
You're terrible at acting that bit in a restaurant, by the way, where you go, oh, I'm not sure if I want dessert. Really bad acting.
But I don't really convincingly say that.
That is a weird routine that we all do.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. You're looking at like five amazing desserts. You actually want all five on mm-hmm. the table.
Yeah.
But we're all hemming and hawing, like, maybe not. Anyway, it's sort of performative.
All going,
it's very performative.
Yes, we'll have a look at the menu. Yeah. We'll have a look at the dessert menu.
Yeah.
Knowing full well you've already looked at the desserts and you know exactly what you're having.
Yeah, it's why you chose this restaurant. Yeah.
Put it in your head, I want to get that one. But I think there should be a rule that once you've ordered the desserts and then between ordering them and the desserts coming, don't talk about desserts in anything other than a positive way. Don't sit there talking to each other. Because then it's almost like the guilt sets in as soon as everyone's ordered the desserts. They all think, oh, man, we shouldn't have done that. We had a massive meal. We shouldn't be eating this much more. And when people start doing anecdotes about, like, oh, yeah, because I had this once, and I'm trying not to now. And, like, now I've found that if you just have a little bit of something and then you just put it back in the... And then you start talking about those kind of things with one another. So you're already, like, basically making yourself feel bad about
talking
eating
yourself
the dessert.
Out of it, yeah.
And then the desserts turn up and you're like, well, I already hate myself for having this now. Whereas we should have all just gone, yo, what I love ice cream so much, I can't wait for this. That would be a much better chat. But instead you have this like diplomatic conversation about desserts, which just ruins it, ruins the fun.
So you want those 5 minutes in between ordering and the arrival of the dessert to be more hype oriented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like really just getting everyone extra excited about what's about to happen. I also get annoyed by the person or people who claim that they don't want the dessert. They're just going to have a bite.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they eat half
yeah.
of it.
And even having a bite's annoying, isn't it?
I think, yeah. If you're opting out, opt out fully.
I need
you to commit to this hatred of dessert. Because now I feel like the dynamic, there's something just really complicated there.
Yeah.
And then they're bringing their issues.
And you've got that in the back of your mind of like, how much are they going to have? And then that stresses you out and then you can't enjoy the dessert.
Yeah.
I love the idea of hyping the dessert. Is it possible, do you think, to have a restaurant where there's a dessert hype man? And that's his only job.
Maybe not his
Someone's
only job.
Ordered dessert.
Maybe,
and
it's,
he comes
maybe it's the doctor again.
No, it's not the doctor. He's a dessert hype man. It's very specific. He's learned his craft.
I love that he sort of shows up in a cape. Table, like the second you order a dessert, it's almost like he magically appears and he's just like leading you in little cheers and little
I'm imagining
songs.
Paul Scheer for some reason.
Oh, yes, that could
I was thinking about Paul Scheer earlier in this episode.
Were you?
Really?
Yes, because when Cammy mentioned sushi.
Yeah.
Every time people mention sushi on the podcast, it reminds me of Paul Scheer. And I think about Paul Scheer because I remember him telling us that he would go to a place and get this sushi that he loved. And this man, he was such a regular, and the man loved him so much that he gave him a sake cup that he had written Paul's name on it in what I think it was Japanese. And Paul was like, "Hey, that means a lot to me, that cup." And we said, "Do you know that it says Paul Scheer? It might say Paul Scheer drinks piss."
And Paul Scheer was a wonderful guest, and we had a lot of fun with Paul. But when we made fun of his sake cup, he did not like it.
It ruined his day. We spoiled a nice thing.
He was
thing.
So proud of that sake cup.
We spoiled a nice thing in his life. And so it always reminds me of it when people choose sushi.
Yeah.
I just think Paul Scheer drinks piss. But, like, I like him. Nice man.
But definitely, yeah, he'd be a great dessert hype man.
He'd be great.
You're ready for dessert.
Yeah, yeah. Also, like, because what you don't want, Paul Scheer, I'd say, looks like someone who I'd be like, yeah, that guy, believably, does like dessert, but also, it's not taking any toll on him. He looks healthy.
Yeah. Right.
But he doesn't look too healthy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't want friggin' Mario Lopez coming out and telling me this dessert's going to be great. Like, how the fuck do you know?
I'd love Mario Lopez.
Yeah, eat desserts.
I would love if that's what Mario Lopez was doing these days.
Yeah, yeah.
What a joy to go to a restaurant. Maybe you go specifically for their dessert hype person.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes like, oh, well, this restaurant has a great dessert.
It's got Mario Lopez.
Yeah, it's got the Mario Lopez hype.
He comes
hype
out.
Machine.
Flips his chair the other way around, sits on it.
Oh, yeah. A little massage, get you ready for the eating. Like, give it hand massage so that you're ready to really use that spoon.
Well, yeah, maybe that'd be nice.
Ready
maybe
for dessert, preppy?
Yeah, yeah. Call you preppy. Yeah. That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah. You have a nickname. They're like, yeah. Come on, Brownstein. You got it. You know?
I guess that is a different kind of hyping you up for it. He's getting you physically. I was thinking someone coming up going, this dessert's going to be so great.
Yeah.
We all love dessert. It's brilliant, which I wouldn't believe from him. Because I'd be like,
from Lopez.
Yeah, Lopez doesn't eat enough dessert, so I don't think it. But if he was training me up like he's a boxing coach, then fair enough, I'd be like, yeah, this is going to be great.
Well, I think we're each imagining something slightly different, but I feel like each hype person would have a different technique.
Their own thing,
you go to a restaurant and you would know that this one was more like a coach. Yeah. Another one was just more like singing the praises of the dessert portion of the meal.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I want someone who's like, we all made a great decision here today. This is so great. Like, you guys rule for making this decision to order the dessert.
You want a life coach, basically.
Yeah. Like, this is so great. I want Paul Scheer to be like, whose idea was it to get desserts? This guy? Fucking a round of applause for this guy. This is so great.
You just want to be popular.
But you want to be that guy, clearly.
Yeah.
You basically want to be validated in your decision.
Yeah.
You should just bring Paul Scheer with you to every restaurant you go
to. Yeah, but he hates us because we said he drinks piss. So we ruined that.
Yeah, but after he's had a few shots of piss, he's good.
I'm going to read your menu back to you now, see how you feel about it. You would like still water. You would like bread from Dos Hermanos in Portland. Starter, a wedge salad. Main course, 8 to 10 homemade tacos, heavy on dairy, and a little bowl of spaghetti bolognese. Side dish, bluefin toro nigiri from Sushi Park in LA. Drink, an old-fashioned with rye from the Pacific Standard in Portland.
Banjo.
From Banjo. Shout out, Banjo. Dessert, Ruby Jewel mint ice cream sandwich. That's pretty great.
That's delicious.
And you're repping Portland pretty heavily there.
I like to rep the city I live in. It's good to like the food in the city you live in. I think it's
important.
It's important.
It's in Portland. Did you say?
You should work for the tourism board because that's in Portland.
It's important in Portland.
We have so many businesses that we've formed from, this was basically a think tank of an episode. I mean, we have a film, we have a book, we have you have three or four extra podcasts at this point.
Yeah. A dessert hype man agency.
Oh.
Doctors who get you the right amount of drunk.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And the big red walk.
Well, Carrie, it's been a pleasure doing business with you.
Let's shake on it. Actually, yes, it has been wonderful to be your guest today. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you, Carrie.
There we are. A great chat with Carrie there, James.
I enjoyed that so much.
Yeah. She's great.
Brilliant, funny, great food choices.
Yes.
And an impeccable musician. Yes. The new album, Little Rope.
Well done.
Is out now.
I loved watching you screw that up, man.
I loved it. You know, it didn't feel good, but I still in my head had the awareness to know, like, I would love this if it happened to someone else. So just deal with the facts it's happening to you now. And to everyone else, you are someone else. So it's okay.
You were riding so high on the smooth link and the drop was sharp.
Oh.
The downfall was immediate.
Straight off the cliff.
And may I say, deserved.
Yeah. Oh, fully deserved the rake in the face.
Yes. Carrie, of course, did not say a thimble of Italian soda. I would have been very surprised if she had. So we can tell you that the new Sleater Kinney album, Little Rope, is out now and they are touring later in the year.
Yeah. And you should listen to Sleater Kinney's entire back catalogue and catch up and watch all of Portlandia if you have not done so.
Absolutely, you should. Thank you very much to Carrie for coming in. We will see you again sometime soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast is coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.